are bearing with us this morning as we kind of set up and stage a few things. I'm excited about this series. I hope you'll try your best to make it here every Sunday in December. This series is going to kind of culminate, build on one another, and culminate on Christmas Eve morning. And I hope you'll come and be a part of it. Christmas season has officially begun.
Christmas season has officially begun, right?
Yeah.
And so the real value in Christmas is not the gifts and the sales and the parties and the food and so forth. The real value of Christmas is in the intangibles. And those intangibles are articulated in some Christian traditions, one of them, which is Christmas Advent. It is symbolized in the Advent wreath. And more liturgical churches, more formal churches, will do this every year, and the candles will have a certain color, and the certain colors will have meanings and all of that. And that's fine, and I'm not going to do all of that, but I do want to borrow, just for this series, I do want to borrow from that tradition a little bit. And each of these candles are going to represent a different facet that we're going to concentrate on. And this morning, I want to talk with you about Christmas as a season of hope. Christmas as a season of hope. In order to do that, I want us to go to Matthew, the first chapter. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew, the first chapter. I'm going to read this chapter, and then we're going to go from there. I'm going to read part of this chapter is on the screen. I'm going to read a little more to give you a little more context. This is how I'm starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This passage holds for us this morning hope. It's actually a quotation from Isaiah, and I want us to go there in just a moment. But this whole Christmas is laden with prophetic hope. In this particular passage, it is the hope that God is with us. Listen to me this morning. Because of Christmas, because God is with us, there is hope. We live in a world today, even at Christmas time, that doesn't seem to be very hope-filled. In fact, it is quite a dangerous world in some respects. It is quite a depressing world in some respects. And in some respects, it is quite different than what you and I would wish for. But because of Christmas, there is hope. And this hope is translated or given to us in many ways. One of the ways is the prophetic messages. And I just want to take just a moment this morning, just a few moments this morning, and I want us to talk a little bit about those prophecies, and I just want to unpack it a little and show you a little bit about this. Prophets from Jeremiah to Micah, from Zechariah to Hosea, all prophesied about the birth of Christ. In fact, there are some count as many as in excess of 400 prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled. And all of these prophecies are laden with hope. There is, because of Christ and because of Christmas, there is hope. Let me just unpack this a little bit for you. No prophet is more laden with this prophecy of hope than the prophet Isaiah. And I just want to take, and if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Take your Bibles and turn with the book of Isaiah. And I'm just going to thumb through these. I'm going to walk through a few of these and just talk with you for a few moments. Isaiah and his prophecies there. This candle that is burning this morning is a candle that represents hope. And we're going to talk about that hope. And I hope you will reflect on that this morning. This passage from Matthew, the first chapter, actually comes from the prophet Isaiah. In other words, when Matthew is writing, he is telling the birth of Jesus Christ. He's telling about the virgin birth. He's telling how the angel came to Mary and spoke to Mary and gave her this word that the child that was be born of her would be of the Holy Spirit, and how the angel came to Joseph and affirmed this to Joseph so that he as a man, as a husband, would know that this birth was of the Holy Spirit, had birthed and conceived, that this would be a virgin birth. And Matthew does something that you will find in Scripture over and over again. He reaches back and he pulls in the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah because prophecy is laden with hope. What prophecy does is prophecy tells us that which will be, even though it is not yet. Are you hearing me this morning? And I just want this to get into your spirit because Christmas is full of what will be but is not yet. It is full of promise. It is full of hope of what will be. And so the prophet Isaiah spoke of this millennium even before it actually took place. And we find this first in Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Now let me set it up just a moment. And again, just bear with me as I give you a little bit of insight into this. As Isaiah is writing this particular passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 7, as Isaiah is writing here in chapter 7, to Damascus and Samaria have come down, and they are threatening the king of Judah. And God says it looked like they were done for. It looked like they were completely done for. But God says through the prophet Isaiah, it will not come to pass. This threat that they have made against you, this threat against you will not come to pass. And then he says this. He says, ask for a sign from the Lord that this threat against you will not come to pass. And Ahaz, afraid, he actually couched his fear in piety, like he was pious. He said, oh, I'll not tempt the Lord. But Isaiah said he was actually scared to ask God for a sign. But he says, ask him for a sign. And Ahaz says, I'll not ask the Lord for a sign. Who am I to ask him for a sign? And Isaiah says, why would you not ask God for a sign when he said he would give you a sign? And then he says this. He said, the Lord will give himself a sign. And this shall be a sign unto you, that a virgin shall be born with child, and she shall give birth to a child that will be born of the Holy Spirit. And so when Matthew is writing about this, he reaches back to that prophecy of Isaiah. And Isaiah goes on to say, look, this sign that is given unto you is not only for this day, but for the day to come. And he says this. He said, the child that is born while he is still young, the kings that threaten you will die, will be dead. They will be defeated and they will be killed. And so there's a lot of mystery as to exactly what Isaiah meant in his time. Most likely he was seeing down through time, and he was seeing that there would come a day when God's people would be threatened. There would come a day when they would be pushed up against it and would be threatened. But God would send a sign. It would be a virgin birth. And in that virgin birth would be the Savior of the world. And so I want you to listen to me this morning. There is much in our world that may threaten today. But Christmas offers us hope that in the virgin birth, that Jesus Christ is the hope of hope, the hope of glory that resides inside of you and I. Because of Christmas, there is hope. Why is that? because God is with us. I want you to listen to me and I want you to hear it well this morning. As long as God is with you, there is hope. And Christmas reminds us that God is with us. And whenever God is there, threaten, the world can threaten. The armies can line up. The world can do its thing. But Joanne, as long as God is with us, there is hope. Amen? I don't know what threatens you this morning. I don't know what the particular thing you may feel pressed upon by this morning. I don't know what it is that may feel like it is pressing you this morning. But I want you to remember this morning that in Christmas there is hope, because it tells us that God is with us. And as God is with us, who can be against us? Because of Christ and Christmas, there is hope. This Christmas season, can I encourage you to remember that God is with you, and because He is with you, there is hope. Let me show you why that's true. Flip over a couple of chapters to chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9. And again, this is a different message for the Christmas season, but I wanted to speak to your hearts as we begin to go forward. Isaiah here in chapter 9, he has come and he is speaking again. And what is fascinating about this, as Isaiah speaks, when you have time sometime, you might want to read chapter 9 verses 1 through 7. But I want to point out to you one particular thing here in verse 2. Notice what, and again, he is speaking about a time that will come. Notice what he says in verse 2, and listen at the hope that is laden in this prophecy. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged their nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice with the dividing of plunder. Notice in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah, as he's looking down, here's what Isaiah does. He looks down through time. And down through time, he sees a time when spiritual darkness will reign. When spiritual darkness will reign over the land. And in the midst of that spiritual darkness that is reigning on the land, into it will step a light of hope. And that darkness will call, I mean, I'm sorry, that light will cause the darkness to flee. Aren't you glad this morning that the light of Jesus Christ stepped into your spiritual darkness? And when he stepped into your spiritual darkness, hope grows up within you. Because of Christ and Christmas, there is hope. I rejoice this morning that the darkness had to go because the light of Jesus Christ has come in. Because of Christmas and Christ, there is hope. Because the light of Jesus has come in into your life and my life. Isaiah looks down through that time and he sees not only Christ the child, but Christ the crucified Lord and the risen Savior. And he says, into that, I love what it says here, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Oh my goodness, there is reason for hope this morning, my friend, because the darkness will not win. The darkness must flee at the light of Jesus Christ. Because of Christmas, there is hope. There is hope. Some of you work in some dark places. I want to tell you this morning, because of Christmas, there is light and there is hope. Some of you may be walking through some dark places, but I have news for you this morning. Because of Christmas and Christ, there is light and there is hope. Some of you may be having some dark situations in your family or your relationships this morning, but because of Christmas and Christ, there is light and there is hope. Amen. There is hope. Isaiah goes on in another place. Turn with me over a couple more chapters to Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, sometime go and read verses 1 through 10. Sometime go and read that. But I want you to notice what the first part of this, where Isaiah is speaking here. And again, notice he's talking. He's looking down through the time. And he says this, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So what he's talking about is the line of David, the lineage of David. You remember what we read and I'm trying to just pull all this together. You remember what we just read in Matthew? Remember what Matthew said? Matthew said that Jesus was of the house and the lineage of David. So Isaiah, Mike, is looking all the way down through time, and he's seeing that Christ child that is going to be born. And this is what he says to him, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. You know, he's talking about Christ and the anointing that will rest on him. And notice what he says. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor on the earth. Do you understand what he's saying here this morning? What he's talking about this morning is the Spirit of God and the justice with which Christ will reign. Let me make it real to you this morning. I am so thankful this morning that when Jesus looked into Glenn's life, he did not judge with his eyes, but he judged with the Spirit of God Almighty, the spirit of wisdom and counsel and might and of knowledge. Because if he had judged with his eyes, he would have just cast me off. But instead, he judged with the Holy Spirit. And in that judgment, he said, Glenn, I will be your sacrifice. I'll sacrifice for you. I'll be your Christmas gift. And because of Christmas, there is hope this morning. Amen. There is hope. Oh, I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful this morning that when he looked at you, he didn't judge with his eyes, but instead he judged with the discerning spirit of counsel and of might, of wisdom and of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You know what I did this morning when I got up and I looked in the mirror? I judged with my eyes. And it wasn't great. But for men, it's actually a little better from women because a little worse than for women, because when we look in the mirror, that's about as good as it gets all day long. Women can do some things. Men, this is as good as it gets, right? Oh, I'm so glad that when I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing Glenn, and I don't know about you, but, well, I do know about you. You face the same things that I face. And sometimes guilt and condemnation will try to reap its way into your life. Sometimes you're standing there looking in the mirror. I'm not talking about a physical mirror. I'm talking about a spiritual mirror. And sometimes you look in that spiritual mirror and guilt and condemnation will want to creep its way in there. Who you are or who you are or not, or what you've done or what you have been. I am so thankful that when I do, that Christ comes and he stands right beside me, and he says, Glenn, I'm looking and I don't see with eyes. I see with my heart. And I want you to know that this morning, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Aren't you thankful this morning that because of Christ and your Christmas, there is hope? There is hope this morning. Let me just show you maybe a couple of more. Turn over another place. Turn over to chapter 42. This to me is one of the most precious of all of Isaiah's prophecies. In chapter 42, you can read the whole passage there from chapter 1 down through chapter 9. But I want to center in on verses 6 and 7 and 8, and I just want to read it for you this morning. I, the Lord. He's talking now. Isaiah is talking about Christ, and notice what he says about Christ. He's speaking for God, and he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles.
to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in the darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and the new things I declare before they spring into being, I will announce them to you. Do you see what he's saying there? What he's saying there is that he, God, made Christ the covenant for you and for me. The covenant to the Jews, and he specifically says the covenant to the Gentiles. I love the way he says it there. He says, because of my covenant, I will come and I will take you by the hand, and I will walk with you, and I will make you a covenant to my people. I want you to know this morning, Christ, in the Christmas birth, on the cross, and in the empty grave, Christ became that covenant for you and for me. Watch this. And because God took Christ by the hand and made him the covenant for you and I, we can be confident there is hope that in my time of darkness, in my time of need, when I lift my hand, that God the Father will reach down and take me by the hand and walk with me along the way. I don't know about you this morning, but I am thankful that I have a covenant with the Father. Because of Christ, there is hope of a covenant. And in that covenant, he will come down and take me by the hand and walk with me. Listen to me this morning. Oh my goodness, church. So much of the world today running around in absolute chaos. Does it not seem that our world gets more chaotic with the breaking of every single news story? People running and in many cases just absolutely having no way, no idea how to respond. I am so thankful that in the midst of that, I can feel the hand of my Father taking me by the hand and walking with me and walking with you. In the midst of this chaos, there is covenant hope. The world walks in chaos. You walk in covenant. Let me say that again. The world walks in chaos. You walk in covenant. A covenant relationship that you and I have because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that covenant this morning, I place my hope. I see the same headlines you see. I see the same things going on in the world that you see. Listen this morning, but there is covenant for you and I. Hope in the covenant of the Father. Amen? Because of Christmas, there is hope of a covenant. The list just goes on and on. I could go on and on. Isaiah is so full of these prophecies that point to Jesus, the Christ child, and the Messiah. So many of them. Isaiah 53. You could go there and read that. In Isaiah 53, you'll find that he is the suffering servant who was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was put upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Because of Christmas, there is hope. Amen. You can go to Isaiah 62. In Isaiah 62, you'll find there, and I'm not going to turn to all of these this morning. Isaiah 62, you can go there and you can find the scripture that Jesus actually quoted himself. Do you remember? Jesus was in the temple. He was in the temple, and in the temple, they turned to him to read, and he tells the attendant to go and to get the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens up the scroll, and he comes to this passage, this place here, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to set captivities captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim liberty to those who are bound, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for a mourning, to announce the coming day of the Lord. I am so thankful this morning that there is hope in Christ this Christmas. Amen. There is hope in him. There is hope in him. Pastor, what does that have to do with us this morning? Here it is. Here's what I want you to get this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to prepare for Christmas. That's what Advent is all about. Advent is a time where you purposely, intentionally focus on Christ in Christmas and who he is and what he's done. And for this week, I want you to focus on the hope that you have in Christmas. Because here's what I know. If you prepare for Christmas by remembering and sharing the hope that you have in Christ, you will see Christ's hope fill your world. Amen. It may be that I've mentioned it once already, it may be in your workplace, somebody needs to have hope. As you reflect on the hope that you have in Christ and begin to share that, I believe hope can fill your office. You mean, Pastor, my little cubicle? My little cubicle, that little place around which is really, really, you just don't know where I work, Pastor. I don't live there like you live there, but I know this. I know there is hope of light in Jesus Christ. And as you reflect and remember and give thanks for the hope that you have in him, that light in you can fill that dark place that you were. Okay, amen. Or maybe it's your family this Christmas season. Maybe it's your family this Christmas season. Maybe there's a dark place in a place of bondage in your family. And I don't know all of what you're facing in your family, but I know this, that the hope that we have in Jesus Christ brings freedom for the bondage. It sets captives free. And I want you to know this morning, as you reflect on that hope, that indeed that hope can bring freedom into the situation that you're praying about this morning. Amen. Or maybe there's something in your own personal life, someplace in your own personal life. I want you to know this morning, there is hope. Some of you may not realize it, may not know it, but the time between Christmas and New Year's, and I hesitate to even say this, but I think we as Christians who have hope should be aware of it. The time between Christmas and New Year's. For many, psychologists tell us it is the hardest time of the whole year. And the statistics tell us the greatest incidence of suicide happens during those weeks. It's a dark time for a lot of people. Wouldn't you love the light and the hope and the freedom and that you have in Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you love that, to be able to come into somebody else's life with a word or a promise or a prayer to them? You know how you can prepare yourself for that? By remembering and reflecting on the hope that you have in Jesus Christ and then sharing it with others. And as you share that, I believe his hope will come into your life. Or maybe you're here this morning and you are that one. If you are, I want you to know God loves you. You can hope in him. I know you may not be able to hope in your finances. They may be worse than you imagine. You may not be able to hope in your family situation. It may be worse than you ever thought it would be. You may not be able to hope in your neighborhood. You may live in a place where there just doesn't seem to be any hope. But I want you to know you can hope in Jesus Christ. Because of Christmas, there is hope. Alexander Poe, and I'll finish with this. Alexander Pope, wrote a work called An Essay on Man. And it's from that essay is where we get the saying, hope springs eternal. You ever heard of that? Hope springs eternal. You probably have heard it a number of times. Hope springs eternal. It's a saying that sometimes people say glibly, hope springs eternal. And in the essay, he's talking about how hope, in this essay on man, how that hope springs eternal in man. I got news for you. Hope doesn't spring eternal because of the spirit of man. Hope springs eternal because of the spirit of God. Because of Jesus Christ, who indeed came in a manger, went to a grave, went to a cross, rose from a grave, and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. As we celebrate the first Advent, that is Christ's birth, we look forward to the second Advent, that is his second coming. And there is a blessed assurance, a blessed hope that one day he is coming again. And I want you this morning, this Christmas season, this week, to reflect on that hope, to thank him for the hope you have, and to ask him who you can share that hope with. Would you do that this week? It'll make a difference in your life and somebody else's as well. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning. As I stand here this morning, Lord, and I look around this congregation, Lord, we're all familiar here. And so my prayer for us as Christians as we stand here this morning, God, is that we would, this Christmas season, first, Lord, we would reflect on the hope that we have on you, that we wouldn't just let the busyness of this season cause us to just rush through it, but we would reflect on the hope we have in you. And that, Lord, we would be thankful for that hope. Thankful for that hope we have in you. And that, Lord, that we would carry it a step further and we would ask you, who do I work with? Who do I go to school with? Who's in my neighborhood? Who do I know that needs to hear this hope? And we would ask you, Lord, to show us that person, and then we'd obey you and share the hope that we have in you. Because of Christmas and Christ, there indeed is hope. And we thank you for it. And we tell you we want to share that hope with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I encourage you this week to do that? Reflect. Be thankful. Ask him who in your world needs to have hope. And then obey him. And share the hope you have in Christ with them. Amen. Amen. Can I encourage you? As I close this morning, can I encourage you this morning? There's a lot going on in the next two or three weeks between now and Christmas, a lot that you're going to want to be involved in. Read those emails. Look there at a bulletin. And I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the hope that you have in Christ today. God bless you. We love you.